Doug Key, what up, my boy?
Hey, what up, my guy? You good?
Man, I'm good. How you feeling, gang?
You know me. It's up. It's up. Can you see good? You good? You
need more light? Yeah. You coming in good.
I bet.
Yeah, man. I'm glad Toy can make this thing happen, man.
All up.
Hey, bro, let's go on and get straight into it, man. 25 summers.
Yeah.
Hey, boy, you talking that talk on here, boy.
Yeah, you know how we do. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, like I say, man, I like to keep the, my goal be to make sure that, man, you know, if I come say I'm doing 26 summers in the next 3-4 months, somebody want to listen again. So it's always a pleasure to make sure that the fans, it's a pleasure for me to make sure that, to know that the fans are happy with the output and the work and the energy that I put into that music, man, because, you know, it's so easy. People's attention span is so short this day. So for me, when I'm working, it's all about the effort and the energy that I put in to make people be excited about, you know, hearing more from me.
Nah, I feel you, bro. And it's good to see that you still, you know, you still coming with that energy, man, and you still, you can know how to switch it up with the times, and that you still, like, you making yourself still be relevant, man, after 25 summers.
Yeah, that's important, man. That's why I try to, I deal with young producers. I try to deal with the youngsters. I try to reach out a little bit. It's very big for me to be an ambassador for the state. I know how hard it is for us in Texas, man. We do our own thing here. We so independent. We so our own planet, how we like to do it. So for me, I'm always trying to push the Jades and the Jack Freemans and these different talents that's here, man, that I'm like, man, do you know what's up with XO? Do you know what's up with DJ Chose? And man, do you know what's up with that? At the same time, I love 8-Ball and MJG, Crit and Be Legit. I'm going to go get all them. But I love to bring my youngsters and my OGs to the fall because we get it how we live here.
Mm. Tell me what this album means to you personally, bro.
Personally, man, you know, it's really, man, just to be honest, it's 30 summers. You know what I'm saying? To be honest, I started on the screw tape circuit, but it's been 25 summers of, for me, man, I'm finally getting to, I'm finally getting to enjoy the effort that I'm, me being the boss, me being able to do it how I want to do it. Growing up through your career, most of the time you know, you're under a company, everybody's making the decision. Man, rappers will tell you all the time, all the singles and everything we do, that ain't always picked by us or what we want to do. You know what I'm saying? Or how we want to actually do it. So the latter part of my career, having the control, having the finances, having everything that I want to do, I've been able to kind of structure the music that I want to do. So for me, 25 summers is a picture of consistency. For me, how I've been able to stay consistent long enough to take control. There's a lot of artists and a lot of rappers, man, don't even make it to the parts of their career where they can afford the budget and the beats and put the videos together and really put in work and really kind of show the game the picture of the way that I'm able to show the game the picture of how I want to see it, how I want them to see it, man. This is what I'm doing. It's 25 summers, man. I was just saying that in the last interview. It's much different, man. We used to rap about these cars and all that. Now these cars in the video, they mine. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting to enjoy the game from a different standpoint. If I want to drop it on, everything I do now, I do it different just because I can. I ain't dropping the video tomorrow. I'm dropping it at 11 at night. You know what I'm saying? As soon as the album drop out, because I want to. And I'm going to drop it on Memorial Weekend because I want to drop it on Memorial Weekend. So, that 25 summers means so much to me from a consistency standpoint, me staying consistent long enough in order to be able to do it the way that I want to do it.
Mm. Hey, I'm glad you highlighted that, man, because a lot of these cats, they talk their boss talk, but they get on somebody else to push that button.
Yeah, the boss thing. Everybody, hey, man, listen, I've wanted to be the boss way more than, and I'm a person, man, that even during this process of being the boss, man, different things going to happen. You got to keep everybody ain't always on the same page. This for me, one of my biggest things throughout this process has been having situational awareness. You know what I'm saying? What that means is, man, understanding the situation, what it is, and being aware enough to know, man, everybody ain't going to be. So people not even being a boss, y'all think it's all about the money part of who going to get paid and who not. Nah, man, it's a lot of dealing with emotions and feelings and situations and who going to be doing this here and how to curb this here and how to get back and how to have to stay on this person ain't mad and these people. So being a boss ain't all what people want it to be. So for me, I don't even enjoy that side of it. I'm glad that I'm able to do both because the music is the therapy part of it. The part of it, man, I done heard 25 summers months and months before y'all hear it. So the therapy and the feel good of seeing the reaction. And man, people swear I'm a kid and I just put out an album, but I know how to make people feel good. It's Memorial Day. And I told people on this album, ain't nobody died. You know, ain't no sliding going on. The only people that died is the people we talk about on the phone lines to heaven. But ain't nobody died. Ain't nobody got shot up, man. So if you want to get dressed for the day party and, you know, you want to get clean and you want to ride and it's Sunday and the top nine, this your album. So for me to know that I'm doing it for that reason and I'm seeing these people in these cars, I'm seeing these people talking about how clean they is. I'm seeing people talking about how happy in the summer and it's going down and they in the gym. Mission complete.
Nah, fast. I can agree. It's a fun album.
That's what I try to do.
I love that, bro. And the I ain't gonna lie. I've been like before we even set this up. I already was like bumping the album. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Just like full alignment for us to just, you know, end up, you know, getting and putting this interview together, man. In the song Game, you talked about rapping with Screw, DJ Screw, rest in peace, back in 93. Your hit single Southside didn't hit until 1998. Tell me, from 93, that gap from 93 to 98, what was going on in your life at the time?
We kids then. You know, we not even planning to do nothing. We ain't planning Southside. We ain't planning 25 summers, 25 years. Like, we ain't planning nothing. We didn't go to school house to be rappers. You know what I'm saying? We went there. This is our partner. Man, my biggest goal when I was 16 and 17 was to be the hottest in my neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I'm in 93. I'm 16, 17 years old. I'm still in high school. They beating on the table. I'm the man in the lunchroom. I'm like that. You know what I'm saying? So we don't even have aspirations. We built it in 94. We starting to get it on. I done met Pat 95. Screw finna get ready to, he one of the biggest in the game. I was Screw Tapes the biggest. 96, 3 in the morning actually comes out, and that's when it all jumps out. That's where Draped Up and Dripped Out comes from, the Pimp the Pen. And then in 97, I dropped my tape. You know what I'm saying? Don't Mess with Texas. So the gap between 93 and 98 was a building process where I popped right in 96 and 97. I took that vibe of Pimp the Pen from 3 in the morning, the first Screw tape ever in stores, turned that into my first album, the first album out of the Screwed Up Click. And I still got the record for doing 40,000 independent CDs, cassettes, the first week as an independent artist, Don't Mess with Texas. And that's still the most influential blueprint album to this city, Don't Mess with Texas. And Southside is just as big as it is today. Bigger. It's on more weddings and more football teams and more dancing. It's more popular than it could ever be. Now, social media is the reason for that. But, man, I was just telling somebody the other day, man, I'm so grateful. That song has taken care of me and my family 25 summers. And really. So, no, we had no plans on doing that or thinking that. And that's the whole thing, man. Sometimes I think about my career. What if I would have been one that went platinum one time in 1995 and never sold another record? Or would I want to sell these millions of records independently that I sold and be the legend I am and the and the ambassador and the you know, the person that I am in my state, in my city, I wouldn't trade this in.
Hey man, that's hard, bro. And that's dope how you broke that down. You know, like you said, it's a building process. Like, people fail to realize that's what it take to go on these type of runs, man. Building, you know, yeah. We want to jump into a situation and already have the roof up. We want to have all the walls put up, all the bathrooms installed, but we don't want to build that foundation.
So, yeah, and then when you do it like that, man, your level of gratefulness for it and your, you know, your level of appreciation be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally been the hell and back. So I keep telling people I'm a lifer. Like, I'm finna transition. I'm having a great time doing music, but I'm finna transition into this right into the next headache. Bring on the youngsters that run in and out and sign the deals and go, okay, bring them on in here with me. I'm ready for it. I'm a lifer. You know what I'm saying? I understand everything to go with this here, man, and I'm prepared for it. And that's even with the people that work around me, man. I try to. It's a hard game. I'm trying to make everybody happy and do everything they need to do. But I understand this is not for everybody. Some people ain't built for this. I'm built for it. I understand it. You know what I'm saying? And I've been through so much through a 20, 30-year career, man. I tell people it's crazy. Like, I ain't got a lot of people with me from that time. You know what I'm saying? Really none, besides if it's Pokey or, you know, family members. But from a rap standpoint and people, the game evolves and changes. Man, I done seen cassettes, vinyls, CDs, now it's streaming. Hey, man, I don't care what you got, NFTs, whatever you got, I want in on it. You know what I'm saying? And as long as I'm here, I'm going to get on it. So I've seen this game change so many times. So one of the things I had to learn to do was start respecting and value the mind frame of how to deal with people with this here, man. Can't get stuck in nothing. I got tough skin.
Hey, boy, you dropping them gems today, my boy. Dropping them. Hey, I ain't going to hold you, Key. My favorite song, hand down, is Vibing. On that, man, because it giving me that Texas / Outcast vibe to it, man. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I want to hear.
I didn't even look at the credits, but I can bet any type of money that Crit made that beat.
Definitely.
Yeah. Once I heard Crit, I said, "Oh yeah, Crit put it down on this one."
Yeah, he did good, bro. Me and him, man, we got a great vibe. The rest of the producers on there, everything, me and Mr. Lee, we've been doing our thing for years, you know what I'm saying? So, but this album, man, what's crazy is on 25 Summers, I don't got four tracks or nothing from nobody. I think DJ XO got three, it's 3-2-2-2-1. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of really did it, kind of reached out. So with Crit, every time I go see him, we come up with one, man, and we tell each other what we want. Man, I want you to do this. I'm thinking about this. I told him I wanted a big West Coast, down South record. We put it together. We actually shot the video 2 days ago at the same day as the party. So we shot the video. Yeah, I'm working. B Legit came down. I brought B Legit, Ed Crit. I brought him into Houston, flew him in, brought him to the party. We shot the video. I really just shot them. I ain't even really done my part yet. I'm going to shoot me in the next couple days, and then we're going to drop it next week.
Okay, man. How you got that boy be legit on there? Because as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, man, I know he ain't going to get no OG on him.
Me and him tight. And the one thing about it, man, he came and messed with me when I was younger, man. And, man, I be thinking like that. Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't take advantage of what my people think I should. Man, you need to call such and such. I'd be like, man, I really don't want to bother these people, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I love people getting it on their own, doing what they do. But when I know we got a vibe, I'm going to call you. Like me and 8 Ball and MJG, I'm calling them. You know, man, we got a vibe like that. Bun B, Slim. And that's why I do a lot with my home people, because I know I got the vibe with them. But even when I reach out, you know what I'm saying? I got some different things that I'm doing on the next album I'm finna do. I'm already in the process of the next album. So I got some different things that I'm gonna do. But me and B Legit, I didn't even get nobody to make that call for me. I made the call because I got a vibe with him like that. OG, I want you. And bruh, Man, this man came down here smooth as a tick. Flew down, came, dropped that video, came to the show, chilling. Man, I called this man the next morning. B, what's up? Man, I'm back in Oakland, man. I'm already back at the highs. I'm saying, hold up, man. You moving like I move. That's how I move. You know what I'm saying? So it was a great experience. And Crit, man, you know, we kind of, I'm locked in with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time I'm getting ready to do one of them albums, we got a good sound right now.
Hey, man, that's dope, man. What's your favorite song on the album, Key, and why?
I'm gonna be a simp wimp and say Phone Lines to Heaven like everybody else because it's by my mom. You know what I'm saying? That's the political answer, which that's a great song. And that, but really to be honest, my favorite song is Motion. And the reason why is, man, that's really Lil Kiki, a long time shit talker. That's the real Lil Kiki. He just love talking shit. The rest of Lil Kiki is Southside. They think I'm making some dance songs. I'm not a dancer. You might catch me over here doing this. I'm not that kind of sentimental. I might be doing most of it or some shit talking. That's Lil Kiki right there. That's why it ain't nothing but about a minute. I ain't even got no hook in that. No. Just let me talk some shit. And so that's my favorite song on the album. It's doing great too. That's why I did kind of like a viral video too. It came out with it first. Come back with the Cypher, the Hype Up Texas. Now we're coming back with the Vibe.
Man, who's shooting them visuals for you? Because I saw that Motion and that Texas Cypher. Who shot those?
My guy, man, and he didn't get to shoot this the Vibing, but the dude shot Vibing real good too. My guy, DZ Miyake, real good. He actually just got extra a little busy on me for this third one, and I couldn't miss the opportunity with Be Legit and Crit in town on the same day, so I had to get it done. But the other guy, Timothy Lenz, I think he's going to do a great job. I also mess with Trill Art. I'm the same thing with Beats, man. If I see you and that picture looking good, I'm finna call you. I'm like that, you know what I'm saying? And I get a good relationship. One, and once I get with you, I'm going to let you do two or three. So these are done Motion and the Cypher. Timothy Lenz is doing Vibing. And I'm actually shooting Phone Lines in Heaven with Trill Art.
Okay. Yeah, I'm rocking with them visuals, man. You
gotta do it. Gotta do it.
You coming with it, dog. Let's take it back for a little bit right quick, Key.
Uh-huh.
In 98, you got two bangers out. You got 25 Lighters out with Fat Pat. Rest in peace. And you got the South Side out. You ain't number 22. What you 22, right?
Yeah, 22.
Number 22. Tell me, how did your life change in that year having two smash records out, bro?
Like any other street nigga, I spent every quarter. There ain't no different. What is this talking about? I spent every quarter. I never had nothing. And as soon as they gave it to me, I spent it all. It was a beautiful thing. And get what I tell people. Rewind that clock, and I'm going to spend all that money all over again. I'm going to do it all over again. I ain't going to say nay a dollar. I'll tell you, man, because I knew one thing, man. This is a gift and a curse that I lived to myself. I'm better with it now. I just always felt like I had the time. I'm going to wrap myself out of anything. But we would come in front of them screw tapes, man, and we were getting that money, and we doing them shows. Man, listen here, man. I had a ball. And it's what I try to tell these youngsters sometimes. Man, y'all be so wrapped up in being the boss so early, 21, 22, you didn't even really get to enjoy the game. See, when I was 21, 22, I wasn't even really talking about being the boss. Man, I just was riding cars, loving girls, going out of town, and spending up every deposit and every dollar that I could touch, man. So, I tell people all the time, man, I didn't even really become a businessman with my music and my catalog and all this that I got that I'm blessed with. Man, 10 years ago, man. Man, that 20-year stretch, man, I don't know where that money is. I smoked it, drank it, wore it, and threw it in the river. You know what I'm saying? So the maturity that I had to be able to Now I'm much, much different. You know what I'm saying, man? I got a 50-album catalog, man. It's all mine. You know what I'm saying? So it's much, I handle business much, much different. Now I still do all that, but I do it under control.
Right.
I'm under control.
It's a balance.
It's a balance.
Hey, boy, you kept it all the way 100 then, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the record of Phones in Heaven, how did the death of DJ Screw and Fat Pat affect you personally, and how did it affect Houston as a whole?
Well, me personally, it affected me from a motivation standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Because Pat was always I want to beat Pat in everything. And he want to beat me and everything. We love each other to death, but we the best. And we the best. We the best, too. Pat and Kiki, we the best. So him being gone is really, you know, the motivation standpoint. And for Screw, it was sad because I didn't really, as big as he was growing, just imagine, Screw ain't barely made it to CDs. So to not being able to see him flourish as the game, you know, to see how much money and how much notoriety and all that we doing on this scale, and to see the trajectory going up and him not being able to get a part of it was thing. And then, man, this is what I tell our people, man. Latoya, anybody they call me the captain. I'm the SEC captain. That comes with a lot of weight. One of the weights is, man, I got to carry this torch. Hey, man, I'm not talking about the rest of the SEC, that is whatever, but being at the top, I was at the top. I got the big song. I'm the first album out of the SUC as a solo artist. So, man, it was a lot of pressure carrying the torch of people who don't think you should be carrying it. People who felt like, shit, you don't have this enough. It ain't that. It's a lot of pressure that come with it, man. I have to stand there. That's why, man, I don't mind being the headline. I don't mind getting the most money because I took all the darts. I took all the ridicule. I took all the hate. I took all the kicks in the ass, you know what I'm saying, to stand up and still be able to say. That's why when I say I'm the captain, I don't give a damn about who don't like it. But for the most part, it's respected, you know what I'm saying? And I it's not because I always had the best flow up. People love Pat to death. Mo might be your favorite. Pokey might be your favorite. Anybody. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to longevity, the most freestyles, the most samples, the most songs, the most pressure, it is no other candidates. It's me. Lil Kiki. And I'm still here standing and repping that shit today.
Man, that's dope, bro. That's dope, man. Give me a couple of your favorite DJ Screw memories.
One of my favorite DJ Screw memories is, one of my most favorites is, I went to Screw House, man, done my thing, one of my first time going, and that second time that I really got to go over there for myself, I'll never forget, because Screw used to wear his headphones with one on and one off, you know, like you got to, damn, like you got yours now, one up, one on, that's crazy that I'm saying that, one up and one off, and we were some young killers. And we about 17, 18, and we ripping that freestyle. And I'll never forget Screw mixing that. And he looking back at us like this. And he doing it, he can't believe. And he's looking back like, man, these people. And listen, he telling that story all over. So that's one of my favorite Screw memories. And then another one of my favorite Screw memories, we just, man, once it popped off, man, like opening that gate, man, and seeing that line around that corner, man. And them people walking to that gate saying, I want 5, I want 7, I want 3, I want this, I want that. It was beautiful. And you know why it was made it more beautiful? We didn't think Screw owed us $1. And he didn't, because we was over there for a different cause and we were just rapping. And man, listen, and I wouldn't trade Screw giving me no money for the relevance that I got right now. The relevance that who I am and who I became is worth much more than anything that he paid me 100 times by just giving me that platform.
Damn. Yeah. I'm going to drop a bomb on that. All right. 2006. The Source magazine shoot for all the Houston legends. Man, describe that day for me, bro, because it looked like y'all were having fun. It looked like outside looking in, it just looked like a family reunion, man. Describe that day.
Talking about at the ranch.
Yeah.
Well, for me, that wasn't a great day. It was a great and a great day. It's a great day because it was a great thing that they put together. You know what I'm saying? And I shout out to Lil J and Rap-A-Lot for having us at the ranch and it's all together. That was the first time we're all together. But for me, it wasn't as what I wanted it to be because Don't Mess With Texas is my thing. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And Source was there for a minute to try to get the I told this story only one other time on 85 South. And Source was there to get what they thought the city was built on, which was the new wave of the thing that was happening, which was the Swish House, Mike Jones, Power Wow. But this is my thing. So y'all don't got me. I'm on the cover, but I feel like I should have been on the front cover. And if they would do that today, I'd be in the center of it. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to fight and bring back who I really am. But at the moment, we didn't have the vibe. We built this city from the ground up, from the freestyle, the screw tape. Don't Mess With Texas is my slang, my draped up, dripped out. Everybody that y'all got out there, from Mike Jones to Power Wild, Slim, Camille, I don't care who they are, they got some kind of piece of my game. I built this city. But y'all here on the new vibe, what's happening in 2006. So y'all feel like this cover needs to be Mike Jones, Power Wild, and such, such. So for me, I'm here, and it's a great thing, and what Lil J put together is a great thing, but I'm a G. I should have been in the front of the cover.
Nah, I always wondered to this day why you went on the front, bro.
That's what I had to say. And we just, because the way that it was getting done, it was from the political side of it. You know, right. Like it wasn't Source coming in doing the history of, let me really do the history of what's happening and who really did. It was, man, they hot, it's going down in Houston right now. But what Lil J done is a great thing because he was able to gather every single person and we all drove out there to the ranch. But for me, based on where I was at in my career, it was just a stepping stone of more work that I had to do. And that's another testament on what I'm saying, man. I persevered all that. That didn't knock me down. You know what I'm saying? 10 years, 20 years later, having to do it now. Mm. And I guarantee it'll be much, much, much totally different. And God has given me so many much more accolades and so much more glory since then. That's why I never knock it and I never talk about it because I'm happy for everybody that got whatever they got off it. But if you just ask me personally, I wasn't out there doing cartwheels about it. I'm mad. Right. To be honest, I'm mad. Hey, man. Hey, man, I know. Don't mess with that. This is my thing. You know what I'm saying? So I was just, you know, it was bittersweet.
Did you tell them that? Did you try to fight?
At the time, I was grateful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't there to kind of piss on the party, you know what I'm saying? To poop on the party, you know what I'm saying? I just understood what it did to me was, all right, I got work to do. And let me tell you something. I went to work. I'm saying I went to work, but I had different other circumstances, trouble and shit that I was in that it was related to why that was going like this. So I've been through a lot, but man, I came back with a great redemption plan, got my thing together, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't trade that moment, and I definitely wouldn't poo-poo on the moment for the rest of everybody else.
Mm. Yeah, because anybody else, boy, they would have been out there cutting the fool, like, on I built this type, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the whole thing is, I've done a better job of still building, you know what I'm saying? And somebody that probably would have been there, they probably would have said they probably wouldn't have had all the accolades and the cash thing, but me, I knew I had to keep building. So what I had to do, man, that was a great testimony of my career, you know what I'm saying? To go through that and listen, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be there, period. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not tripping, but I just know as a soldier, as a gangster, as a real one, I just know what I deserve. So I ain't backed down from the fact that I deserve it. I just, man, let me go to work. Let me, you know. So like I said, if it was today, I don't think I have no problem at all.
On the record, Sin No Leather by Mr. Lee. That's a banger. got that Pimp C sample in there, man. How hard is it to get a Pimp C sample?
Let me tell you how hard it is. Just as hard as easy. Let me tell you, it's hard. It depends on who it is. For me, I'm able and willing to do it because these same people that I know that I got to deal with, I'm going to let them do whatever they got to do with Keith. You know, I'm the most sampled person in Texas ever. You know what I'm saying? There is no one with most samples than me. There is no one with no chunk of the deuce. I'm a G. Break them all. Screwed and I already warm it. Wood grain wheel. Knocking those down. Draped up. I don't know. That's me. You know what I'm saying? All those are hits by all Texas artists. There is nobody in Texas that don't got a Kiki sample. So when it comes to me sampling somebody, man, you know, hey, it's all love.
That's dope.
But I wouldn't only do that a certain with a, you can only do that. I only sample myself with a scratch like that or something like a Pimp or something like that.
I got you. Give me your favorite Pimp C memory. Rest in peace.
Man, you must got another 3 hours. Hey, man, my favorite, I tell this one all the time. I told B, how you know one time we all write on that song, one day you're here and the next day you're gone, that they got. I was supposed to be on that song. Yeah, me and Hawk, we was on the way to do the studio. We was on the way to do it, and we stopped at the store. They came down, picked us up. We on the way back to Port Arthur to do it. We go in the store, and when I came out the store, they was getting apprehended. We in the store to go get some shit, you know, cigars, everything. We finna get the lead. As we come back out, as we all walking back out the store, they out there getting the car searched. They get apprehended. Hawk, Pimp C, all the bun.
Oh.
I politely walked out the store and hit the corner. It kept on going. Ain't no sense all of us going. Let me go. You know. So that's one of my favorite Pimp stories. And the story of him, you know what I'm saying? Like, we supposed to got on that knocking. I'm on knocking those down. He wanted me to talk about something different. He ended up missing the chunk of the dude's video. We ran into each other at the airport. I'm mad at him. Man, why you miss my video? And he tell me, you know, that's them white folks trying to separate us. the record company people.
So what he wanted you to come with on Knocking Doors Down? Cause
he says Knocking Doors Down is me on the sample, right? That's me saying that. So when Red Boy brought it to me, I was like, I heard what Pimp was talking about, like what he was doing. He just came home. He on some. I didn't really want to be. There we go. I didn't really want to be doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I asked Red Boy, "Hey man, this what you want? That ain't what Knocking Doors Down mean. Knocking Doors Down is some car shit. Do you want me to do this here? This?" And he was just like, "Go on, do you." But I think Pimp wanted me to more chime in as one of the elder statesmen, you know, and I was just like, I didn't really want no parts of it. I'm still like that, man. I'm a peacemaker, but at the same time, I don't want to be in the middle of it. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's all it was. He just wanted me to be kind of on the same page he was, and I was on there talking about some cars. As usual.
Right. Do you still feel like you love by few and hated by many?
People always took that statement as, you know, like me. I'm loved at the same time. Hey, listen, that's not a statement of saying, you know, that's to keep a chip or something on my shoulder. That's just basically saying that's to keep me even keel. You know what I'm saying? I understand. I say the same thing with my kids, man. I try to, and it could be the vice versa way around. That's how I was feeling that time. It could be loved by many, hated by few. You know what I'm saying? What I'm basically saying is, listen, just as fuck, you got to stay even keel with the same amount of skin. Just for as much praise and love you're going to get, it's going to always be one or two that's not along with the program. I tell my kids that all the time. They might go to the Nike store with me and get some shoes, and the manager might throw some socks in there. We might be at the chicken place and we leave, "Dad, man, ain't extra 5 pieces of chicken." And then you might go somewhere, man, and somebody might look upside your head and turn and treat. Be ready for both sides of the game of it. You know what I'm saying? It comes with all of it. Be prepared. So as much love as we're going to get, know that the other side comes with people who is not always just as happy and, you know, want to see you doing as good. So be able to deal with both. It's a lot of people that love the wins, but they can't deal with the losses. You know what I'm saying? And you're not going to be a great winner until you learn how to lose. You know what I'm saying? And let other people win. So for me, love by few, hated by many is more pertaining to, for as much love as I get, and I'm happy to be into that particular role, I'm also aware of everything else that go with it. The hate, the ridicule, the deception, the people that don't like you. So that's what that meant, really.
Man, Key, you can make a million songs, bro. My favorite verse from you gonna always be that verse you did on that banging screw.
You did. We had old Kyle Lee on the cypher. He did good too, man.
Oh yeah, talking about the new cypher.
Yes, Kyle Lee on the cypher.
Yeah. Boy, that cypher hard, man. Paul Wall came in there cutting a fool.
Yeah, he did, man. Paul Wall, that's my brother, man, for sure.
Hey, yeah, bro. We got to set up a in-studio interview, man, the next time you down here in Atlanta, bro.
I will. I'll be that way soon, man, to do something. I came last year to do B-High and 85 and Dirty Glove, man. This time we'll make sure we set it up. We come in and do something nice. Let's get it.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate your time, brother, man, and keep up the good work, man. I'm proud of you, man. The album is flawless, bro, like no skips.
Salute. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that, man. It means a lot to me.
Oh, yeah. So keep doing your thing, bro. And we going up out here, man.
I am. Be good.
I bet. Hey.